1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, what's going on with baseball's sticky baseballs? We'll explain in just a moment. Also, a brand new interview today with Dan Wiederer. He's the Chicago Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Talk with him about OTAs, the Justin Fields and Andy Dalton competition, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Ryan. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. I am very opposed to cheating. Go figure, right? For the longest time, I said no one who used steroids should go to the Hall of Fame. I condemned steroid use to the fullest. And I said this is not the way it's supposed to be. Why not have integrity when you do something? Integrity is valuable, not just a sports lesson, a life lesson. You need to be trusted. You need to show people that you are trustworthy. You aren't a scammer or a schemer. You're genuine. You're honest. You do honest work. What happened to morals and values? But over time, my position on cheating, especially in baseball, has changed a bit. When we look back on Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, a lot of these steroid users, their impact on the game, because of steroids or not, was immense. Some would say immeasurable. 1998, McGuire, Sosa, immeasurable impact on baseball. Barry Bonds and what he did. Hall of Famer before steroids, definitely one after. Immense impact on the game. And if we're going to let in Bud Selig, who condoned and allowed this stuff to go on, Commissioner, why can't we let in the players who did it? If we let in managers who allowed it, Tony La Russa, why can't we let in the players who did it? See what I mean? So, that changed my position on the whole thing. And today, if you ask me, is Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer? Is Roger Clemens a Hall of Famer? Yeah, they are. They were great. Great before, great with. And they had an immeasurable impact on baseball. Plain and simple. Steroids or not. They were big for the game. They were bigger than the game at times. They deserve to be there. You know, it's ironic because we do see no spitball pitchers, Vaseline ball pitchers in the Hall of Fame today. Bill Niekro, Gaylord Perry, two great pitchers whom we all revere, used Vaseline, pine tar, spitballs, nail files to throw a baseball. I didn't see anybody say a word about him. Again, I am not for cheating. I don't support it. I don't like it. But when you go low, pitchers are forced to go lower. When you change the baseball over the years to hurt pitchers, what do you expect them to do? MLB to alter baseballs for the 2021 season. After the league saw a record 6,766 home runs in 2019, the home run rate fell from 6.6% to 6.5% during the pandemic-shortened 2020 campaign. The key to the boom for home runs, inconsistencies in seam height. I'm not going to get into the science. I'm going to tell you like it is. Major League Baseball has been screwing around with baseballs for years. They are essentially using their league as an experiment every year. How many home runs do we get this year? How many last year? What could we do? If you're going to mess with the baseballs, then pitchers have every right to mess with how they throw them and what they use to apply to them. It's really that simple. You could say, I don't like cheating. I hate cheating. I hate it. That's a life lesson. You should never cheat. Show integrity. Show honesty and hard work. But when you've got a system that is being gamed against you with different baseballs, different seam heights, more home runs, less home runs, when you're being treated like a lab rat, then you have every right to fight back. Tell me I'm wrong. And that is my issue with sticky baseballs, with checking guys to see if they have substances on their hand or their forearm. You could all sit here and bemoan it, and you're right to do so, but let's point our fingers at the real culprit, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, for screwing around and switching the baseball year in and year out, for forcing pitchers and hitters to have to conform to a brand new playing substance. The baseball is the most important part of the game, the ball itself, and you're changing it every year. You're changing it. You're making it bigger. You're making it smaller. You're making it tighter stitched, less stitched. Higher seams, lower seams. You are conducting an experiment every year with these players. And remember, these players' salaries depend on their performance. So you're messing with future paychecks just to see how the baseball holds up. And then people wonder why there's going to be a strike, why everybody is enraged, and why pitchers have to resort to foreign substances to get the job done. I mean, this really couldn't be more obvious and simple. And if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what to tell you. It's just a real shame. Quote from Forbes. In many cases, an analysis of baseballs taken from games revealed foreign substances that had been applied to the ball. The foreign substances caused increased spin and change the trajectory and dynamics of the baseball. Wait a minute. Change the spin and the dynamics of the baseball. What's the problem with doing that when Major League Baseball does the same thing to you? Oh, the spin rate's too high. The dynamics are different. Wait a minute, though. It's public knowledge that baseball changes baseballs every year. I just read you an article. 2021 balls will be different. So that's public knowledge. That's okay. But pitchers trying to get used to those new baseballs are being shut and outed and taken down. You know, there are times in which I feel so distant from this sport. This was my first love. This I will always try to love. But I'll tell you this much, over the years, it's been harder and harder to gravitate to baseball in general. And then they wonder why fan interest is dwindling, why no one's going to their games, why social media isn't taking off. Well, if you stopped acting like this, you'd be okay. You are causing a civil war between players, commissioners, owners, scientists, all over your product. The baseball. The old adage is, any press is good press. This, not good press. Not good press for the game. For the young fan who's interested, a casual fan, when they see this, they'll be done. People don't want to watch cheating. People want to watch integrity and good competitive sports. Not, oh, here we go again, another substance check. They don't realize it, and frankly, they don't care. And that's going to be a big problem for them. You all know me to be a traditionalist, and I am very staunch in that stance. I'm not a big fan of bat flipping. Not a big fan of showboating. Let the guys have fun. I'm not a fan of that. That alienated me a bit, but I was okay, and I could deal with that. This, you could be a purist or not. This is not okay. It would just be so amazing if, you know, nobody cheated. But I don't blame them for doing it when your league, when your superior, is changing the baseball. Yearly. Every single year. I don't know what to say to this. And I do not blame any player, any pitcher, from resorting to foreign substances. I don't. There's nothing wrong with it. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when all this stuff is happening? You are being screwed out of millions, tens of millions of dollars. What's the problem with trying to insure yourself a paycheck? Remember, sports is a business, and these players do need to get paid. If they can't get paid, they're done. If no team offers them a contract, well, you're out of baseball. That's just a fact. So these guys are resorting to foreign substances and cheating to get by. I don't blame them. I would if there was no reason to, but there's a reason to. Steroid era, no reason. No reason for that to happen. This reason, good reason. Baseball is purposefully messing with their product, with what they sell. And if you're a worker, how could you take that? What are you supposed to do? When your future salary is determined purely on merit and performance and somewhat of the market, how are you supposed to combat that? Other than, well, I need to do something. I can't pitch to a 5 ERA and expect to get a contract next year. So, if they're going to screw with me, I'll screw with them. That's it. No one realizes. No one cares. People are looking at this all wrong. Well, there's cheating. They're cheaters. No. It's called baseball's cheating them. So they are cheating back. They are retaliating. And they should. Every right to. Explain this to me. Why was it in 2019 that baseball had a record amount of home runs? Because they're messing with the baseball. Then last year went down a bit. Now they're changing it again. Since when is it your job to experiment with players? To try different things out. And in the process, to cheat them out of millions and potentially tens of millions of dollars. That's not acceptable, and you know that. That's completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable, and that's why baseball will have a strike. Can't avoid it. This relationship has been ruined and tarnished. Tarnished. I just love how players are being construed as the bad guy. Right? They're in the wrong. They are doing wrong by trying to ensure themselves a contract because the playing ball that they use is being tampered with day in and day out. But no, they're wrong. They shouldn't be cheating. Give me a break. What would you do? What would you do in that situation? You need to make money. Put food on the table. Would you just sit there and take it and be like, oh, my boss is cheating me and I'll just have to sit here and deal with it? Or will you say, no, I need to do something because if I don't, I may not get a raise or my paycheck or anything. It's really a dire situation, and it's unfortunate, more so, that no one's covering this correctly. Everyone's concerned about the players, them cheating. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, the checks. Oh, Max Scherzer took off his pants. So funny. No. The real issue is this. Baseball, for years, has had a concerted effort to cheat its players. Why is it, though, that when the players cheat, there's a problem? That's the issue. That's the whole crux of the problem. Why is that acceptable? And to this day, I haven't heard an answer. I haven't heard anything. Nothing. Nothing acceptable. I've heard constant blame on players. I've heard people diminish what they've done. Scherzer, DeGrom, other guys who actually performed. Heard a lot of that. I haven't heard, well, maybe it's baseball's fault. Well, maybe they shouldn't be messing with the balls. And they do. Such a shame. Every time I try to love this sport again, something like this happens. And it always makes me remember, this ain't the baseball I grew up watching. I watched fun baseball. I was born in 2000. I watched fun baseball. Post-steroid era. Entertaining baseball. Pitchers baseball. Even in 2011, 2012, 2013. I didn't hear anything about steroids. Different baseballs. Cheating. Jersey checks. Pants checks. No. I really lived through a good era of baseball, and I'm thankful. But obviously, it's too much to ask to go back to that era. Now we have to sit here and deal with cheating, which already is bad, but more importantly, baseball cheating their own. That should be a big problem to you. And if it isn't, then you're not a baseball fan. You don't get it. That should be a serious problem to you. That's why there will be a strike. Mark my way, there's going to be a strike next year. There's no chance there isn't. When you are being cheated consistently out of millions of dollars based on the composition of a baseball, you really think players are going to forget about that? No. They'll remember, and they will put up a fight. And this could be an ugly lockout, ugly strike. My hope is for integrity. Integrity and honesty always prevail. Always. So my hope is that moving forward, there is more integrity and honesty. Not from players. Players are pretty honest for Major League Baseball. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Dan Wiederer comes up next, so stay tuned. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the Bears beat writer for the Chicago Tribune and a contributor to ESPN 1000. Please welcome Dan Wiederer to the program. Dan, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, I'm doing great. Hope you're enjoying your summer so far.
I'm really enjoying it. How's yours?
Good. It's nice to get back out in the world a little bit, play some golf, get out and went to a Cubs game with my son recently. So everything's coming back little by little.
What stood out to you so far most at OTAs, being there and being at practice every day?
Well, I think when the OTAs started, the first thing that jumped out to you was the lack of defensive participation and how many key defensive starters were not in attendance. Really, Roquan Smith was the only core member of the defense that came to all the OTAs and the minicamp. the defensive turnout was much better at the mandatory minicamp. You throw mandatory behind the title of something, and all of a sudden the attendance goes up, believe it or not. And the defense played pretty well in the practices we were able to watch a week ago. And then obviously I think, John, all the focus in this entire city for the foreseeable future is going to be on Justin Fields. And what does he look like? How does he look? What is Andy Dalton going to do to be a reliable placeholder? And can the Bears make this situation work in concert with the plan that Matt Nagy sort of has envisioned for bringing Justin Fields' development along?
How would you describe the quarterback competition at camp right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a competition, because as you've heard from the head coach himself, they are going through this with the plan to have Andy Dalton be their week one starter, hopefully their week two starter, hopefully their week three, four, five, six starter, if he can play at a high enough level that allows them to oversee Justin Fields' development at the rate that they think is most sensible for Justin Fields. This isn't about holding Justin Fields back. It's about making sure that he doesn't have to feel this ticking clock and that, you know, that Kiefer Sutherland 24 clock beeping in the back of his head as he tries to go through the steps of developing. And there's a lot for rookie quarterbacks to take on as they come into this league. And every team handles it different. Every organization has a different plan. For the Bears and Matt Nagy and this coaching staff, they firmly believe that if they can give Justin Fields a longer on-ramp, it's going to be better to his long-term future. And so for right now, it's not really a competition. It's getting Andy Dalton ready to start the season. And then it's overseeing Justin Fields' development on sort of a parallel track. And as things sort of progress and evolve, then perhaps we're going to get more into that conversation on, okay, which guy is more equipped to lead this football team to wins. But we're not at that point yet.
What benefits come with sitting a rookie quarterback versus playing him week one and having him get reps?
It's comfort. Really, it's comfort. It's the ability for a guy to be able to, again, just cross that bridge at a pace that doesn't feel stressful, that doesn't feel harrowing. Justin Fields told us coming out of minicamp that he's still trying to figure out how to call a play in a huddle, right? They ran a lot of no huddle at Ohio State. And so there's these basic boxes on the checklist that he's trying to check off right now. He's going to check them off in due time. It's just a matter of how many of those do you need to check off to be ready to start and play at a high level in the NFL. And there's a lot that goes with it. If you get in the huddle and you call one wrong word in a long play call, the whole play could blow up, right? And so you want to make sure that is comfortable for the quarterback. That's just one small thing on this checklist, as I mentioned. And so that's one benefit, is just the comfort and the lack of pressure that goes with it. The other part of it is just understanding that now you can sit behind Andy Dalton and you can watch him prepare. You can learn what it's like to prepare in training camp. You can learn what it's like to prepare in the regular season. What do you do to dissect an opponent in week one? What do you do after you either win or lose that season opener to come back to correct your mistakes, to build on your successes? All of those things, the chance to learn that from a guy who's done it for a decade in this league, also valuable in the Bears' eyes. And so, listen, I tell people all the time, Justin Fields is going to make his first NFL start at some point in 2021. It's coming, and it's coming soon. It just might not be as soon as everybody wants. And so if everybody can take that deep breath and feel that little bit of patience, you know, the time is coming, and the time will be very exciting when it does come.
Do you think week four could be a possibility against the Detroit Lions? I've heard a lot of people say that could be a target date.
I don't know that there's necessarily a set target date. I certainly think that's within the realm of possibility for certain, that when October comes, and if they feel like Fields has done everything they've asked him to do, then they're going to be ready to turn him loose. There's nothing in it for anyone to just sort of hide him for the long term. There's really not. And so if he's ready to play winning football, this coaching staff will be ready to judge that. I just think we don't know enough yet. And after a couple weeks of OTAs, remember, there was a full week of OTAs that was canceled by this coaching staff as a little bit of a, an olive branch, I guess you'd say, or a favor to some of the players to keep the offseason a little lighter. Well, that means you're going to go into training camp with, you know, 6 weeks of camp, with three preseason games, and all of those things are going to tell us a lot more about Fields' readiness. And then once we get to Labor Day weekend and can kind of survey the scene from there, it'll make a lot more sense on where he's at and where those projected timelines may come in.
Dan Wiederer here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dan, what excites you specifically about Fields just in general in his game?
Yeah, it's real easy. It's this high level athleticism. It's this proven playmaking production at the college level. And when you're a young quarterback who's going to make mistakes, who's going to make bad reads, who's going to get in trouble in places, to have the ability to get out of that trouble on your own and turn what would be a sack or a sack fumble or a turnover into maybe a 5 or 6 yard scramble. All of a sudden, that makes everyone feel a little bit calmer, a little bit more comfortable. And so that playmaking, artistry that Justin Fields has is very obvious. The other part is just the size, speed, arm strength, deep ball ability that he has. I've told people that Justin Fields is the same size as Eddie George was coming out of Ohio State when he was coming out. He runs a faster 40 time than Eddie George had coming out. And oh, by the way, he can throw a deep ball 60 yards down the field on a line with great arm strength and great accuracy. And now all of a sudden you say, boy, this is quite a piece of clay to have a chance to mold. And now it's up to Matt Nagy and his coaching staff to mold that the right way.
Do you trust them to mold him correctly?
I mean, you certainly have to leave yourself skeptical, right? Because we understand that Justin Fields would not be here if Mitch Trubisky turned into the quarterback that everyone told us he was going to turn into when the Bears drafted him and when they tried to develop him after year one, year two, into year three, and obviously eventually into year four. And so Matt has a lot to prove. He does on that level. He has to prove that he can put together an offense that can finish in the top 15 of the league, right? In production. That's points, that's yards, that's red zone, that's third down, all of those things that come with it. I don't know that trust is something that the Chicago fan base is ready to just give out blindly at this point. And so they're going to have to earn that trust, and they're going to have to earn it by bringing his kid along at a rate that other people can see. Oh yeah, that's progress. Oh yeah, that's there. Oh yeah, he's going to be a guy that can earn a second contract, a guy that can be a starter for us and a high level starter for 10 years. But at this point, there's not enough to go on to say, yeah, I trust them to turn him into an all pro.
Well, they've bought him more time though, right? As a coach, like you'd have to think he has at least one or two more years now as the Bears head coach to develop Fields.
Well, what I've told everybody is that so much of 2021 is going to come down to what does Justin Fields look like around Christmas time, right? How is Justin Fields playing in that last stretch of December? How is he playing at the close of the regular season in January? And really very little else with the long term of this direction matters, because that's what this season is about. Most people, when the schedule came out, you look around at the projections for what people see this Bears team as. A lot of people see him as 8-9, 9-8, kind of on that fence. And so you compare that with the mushrooming excitement that's been around the city since draft weekend, and you say, okay, the reason there's such a high level of excitement for a team that might finish around 500 or below and miss the playoffs is because people believe that Justin Fields has the talent to be something really special. And so again, now we get into this micro view on his development through 2021. And when we get toward the tail end of that regular season, there better be signs, right, that it's in there. He doesn't have to be a finished product. He doesn't have to be a proven every week difference maker at that point, but there better be signs in there that this draft pick was a good one and that he's ready to take his development up.
You think it'd be acceptable for the Bears to go 8-9, to miss the playoffs, but to know that the year after, Justin Fields is ready to lead them to a playoff appearance?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think that's something that this coaching staff and really this front office brought up after the 2020 season ended and they got back from that playoff loss in New Orleans. And there was the closed door meetings at Hallis Hall with George McCaskey and Ted Phillips trying to figure out the direction of this franchise. And I think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace both said, listen, we are going to do everything we can in this offseason to fix the quarterback position, whether that's free agency, whether that's the draft, whether it's a trade, whether it's some combination of those things together, which it ended up being with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. We're going to put everything we can into fixing this quarterback position. But part of that is if we're going to draft a guy and we're going to use capital to go up at number 11 and get a guy that we believe in, well, now we have to be able to oversee his development without feeling like it's win now or the trap door opens beneath us and we're all fired and we're all gone. And so if you have that understanding within an organization that right now the long-term stability and direction of this franchise is entirely dependent on whether this selection of this quarterback is correct, then you have to be able to take off those horse blinders and you have to be able to look from 30,000 feet above and see, okay, sure, maybe we were 8-9, maybe we were 9-8. But Justin Fields looks ready to have that second year jump. And if that's the case, then all of a sudden you can start dreaming those championship dreams and start dreaming about those playoff berths again.
Dan Wiederer, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Dan, besides quarterback, what concerns you about the Bears for this season?
Yeah, one thing that excites me is that Sean Desai, as defensive coordinator, certainly seems to have the belief of the players that are going to be playing for him. I think there's an excitement that this defense can produce more of those splash plays, the takeaways, the sacks, the game-changing plays that haven't happened enough the last 2 years. But that said, you still have to make sure that Akeem Hicks has still got fuel in the tank at his age, right? You have to make sure that Eddie Goldman is indeed going to report to training camp, which the Bears have promised, but Eddie's absence, unexcused absence from minicamp, was a head scratcher and raised a red flag. Can Robert Quinn give you anything? Well, he misses minicamp practices all week because he's dealing with a lower back strain. That's not a good sign for a guy whose production last year was nowhere near what anyone wanted it to be. And so now you're talking about a defense that was the best in the league, at least top three in 2018, and now has come back a little bit the last 2 years into a defense that's still good but not dominating. And you say, okay, there are some concerns there. You don't want the window to close on a championship level defense while you're waiting for your quarterback to develop. And that's a concern for me, that by the time Justin Fields is ready, the defense will be back to middle of the road, and there'll be the same old story in Chicago where you can never get things to time up in a way that propels that high level success that this city's been starving for really the better part of 35 years.
Do you think personally that the window is closed? Like, could we ever see the Bears replicate 2018, or is that pretty much over right now?
Well, it depends on your top-tier playmakers being top-tier playmakers on an every-week basis. And so Khalil Mack can't get to the end of 2021 and not have double-digit sacks, right? You can tell me all you want about, oh, he's seeing a lot of double teams and he's got nicks and bruises and whatnot. He was paid a few years ago as the highest-paid defensive player in the league, and that was for a reason, to change games every week. So he has to do that. Eddie Jackson has to be the player that you paid him to be. Roquan Smith has to continue ascending off of a really, really brilliant 2020 season. You have to have that group of playmakers, those guys that you believe can be all pros, play at an all pro level. If they don't, now all of a sudden you come back again, and sure, is it fun to be a number 9 or a number 10 or a number 11 defense? Yeah. Does it win you championships? It doesn't. And so the goal now for Sean Desai is to try to figure out ways on a weekly basis to put his elite playmakers in position to change games. And again, as we talked about a minute ago, that means sacks, it means interceptions, it means fumbles, it means defensive touchdowns. 2018, those were coming every week. 2019 and 2020, they weren't. And we saw what that meant to the long-term future of the team in those seasons.
What about the run game? What do you expect from them this year?
You really felt like there were some positive things in those last 6 weeks of the regular season a year ago. You felt like David Montgomery emerged into the player that the Bears believe he can be, and that the Bears committed themselves to giving David Montgomery a more featured role. And so when you see that and you say, okay, now we're going to put him in a backfield that, oh, by the way, has Damian Williams, who's an electric player when you can turn him loose, and Tariq Cohen should be coming back off the ACL injury. Okay, reason to believe that the running game should be improved in 2021. Pair that with an offensive line that seemed to find itself a little bit down the stretch of 2020, and you get that extra surge of optimism that, yeah, okay, now we can make strides up front in addition to our backs, and now we can make the running game a strength for us rather than something that we're trying weekly to get unlocked. That's a big deal for this Bears offense, to be able to have a reliable running game that can carry them in certain weeks. And so that's up to Matt. It's up to those backs. And then it's up to that offensive line. And right now, John, you have to figure out whether Tevin Jenkins, the second round pick, can get himself ready to play starting quality left tackle as soon as possible. And that's another huge question mark for a team that you know, has reasons to feel optimistic, but still has a ton of question marks facing it heading into training camp.
So with that in mind, then, what's your overall expectation for the Bears in 2021?
I think when the schedule came out, I threw the record in at 8-9. I feel like they are going to be very similar to what we've seen the last couple of years in terms of just being that middle of the road team. And it's going to be a little bit painful at times because people are tired of win loss, lose 6 in a row here, lose 4 in a row in one season, 6 the next. Whatever it is, people don't want those long losing streaks. They're painful, but this team just, you know, it has to, you listen, you lost Kyle Fuller, right? That's a starting cornerback that you have to replace this year. You have to figure out what your offense is doing well in ability to get things to sync up. And so until further notice, I'm kind of hanging around that 500 territory and waiting for the Bears to tell me that I should believe otherwise. But that's where I am here in June. And I reserve the right to change that opinion when we get a little deeper into August and we've seen a little bit more in training camp from this group.
What if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back? Does that change your opinion?
Well, it certainly changes the entire landscape of the division. And it's one of these storylines that you wake up every morning and you say, my goodness, the Packers still don't know whether Aaron Rodgers will take another snap for him. And you talk to enough people with enough knowledge in Green Bay, and they tell you pretty definitively, Aaron's not coming back. The page is turning, and this is going to be Jordan Love's show when September rolls around. And it's so hard to believe and hard to fathom for folks that have lived in Chicago and seen 30 plus years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking from the guys in the green and gold that you say it can't be real, right? It can't be real. They always start a Hall of Famer. If that is indeed the case, well, then the division opens wide open. And I know three other teams, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears, that are saying, yeah, boy, Aaron, I don't think the Packers have treated you right. You know, you might want to get a new start elsewhere, you know, and just kind of keep planting those seeds in his head so that his days of torturing the division are in the rearview mirror.
Do you think that could expedite Fields? Like if Green Bay is not there and it's pretty much an open division, do you see them maybe putting in Fields earlier and saying, let's win now, let's go for it this year?
I know what you're saying. I don't see those two things going hand in hand because I think this coaching staff has to have a very long-term focus on what's best for Justin and what's best for this offense. And I don't think anything that happens in Green Bay will change that. But to your point, there is a human nature thing that comes into that. And if you are hanging around in the division and you're seeing some signs of life from this team and you say, man, we just really need that sort of TNT jolt from our quarterback position, then maybe you do make that move earlier than you wanted to. It's fascinating. It really is, because it just, I tell you, I think about it every morning and it doesn't sink in that Aaron Rodgers might not play another down there and how much that would change this division. And if Justin Fields then is the guy that you believe him to be in the Bears organization, well, hey, guess what? Maybe now you can be the Packers for the next 10 to 15 years and be the team that, you know, goes to the playoffs pretty much every year and wins a handful of playoff games and gets into that NFC championship game and gives yourself a chance. You start dreaming those big dreams and you say, man, that's pretty, pretty intriguing. And then you have to take that shot of reality and say, that's a long way off and there's a lot of hurdles to clear. But I understand the fantasy world and the fun that comes with dreaming those biggest dreams, given all the things that have happened here in the last 3 or 4 months around the division.
More to come with Dan Wiederer in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Dan Wiederer, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dan, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, what's your take on the Chicago Tribune situation?
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's incredibly sad for me to see the attrition and the decimation of the manpower and the resources and all the things that have come with being someone who grew up in Chicago, whose dream job was to come to Chicago and work at the Chicago Tribune. I remember my first day on the job taking the water taxi up to Michigan Avenue and seeing the Tribune Tower and just having head to toe goosebumps about what that was and what it signified and what it meant, not only in terms of career achievement, but in terms of career responsibility going forward and all the things that you wanted to accomplish at the Chicago Tribune. You have to reinvent yourself when you lose bodies and you lose manpower. And it's been very, very sad recently. You're referencing a whole flood of buyouts recently after the Tribune was bought by a hedge fund, Alden Global Capital. And so it has been very sad to try to come to grips with what the new Tribune will look like. But we've got to adjust and we've got to work on the fly to figure out what we can do with what we've got left and continue to serve our audience, which is a passionate audience that expects certain things. And there can be no excuses, right? You just have to continue to provide the best you can with what you're given. But boy, I tell you, it is shocking and jarring at times to see how small the roster is, really, the best way to put it. The roster has shrunk significantly since I started here 8 years ago. I believe there were 48 people in the sports department when I started, John. That was back in 2013, and that's writers, editors, desk people. I think we're going to be down around 10. Wow. by the end of the month. And so you wrap your brains around that with the number of sports teams, pro, college, preps, and otherwise that deserve attention in this town. And you understand what some of the handicaps are to work around in the months and years ahead.
So how difficult does that make your job now? Like, will you have to balance a couple of jobs, right, for other teams besides the Bears, or how does that affect you?
To be seen. There's a big, I think department-wise, there's a giant capital TBD on a lot of things And some of this dust has to settle here in the next few weeks. And then there has to be sort of a reexamination of what we do, how we do it, and what's realistic given resources and manpower. And that's a hard discussion to have when you're working for an outlet that for years and decades and centuries almost has been so prestigious and esteemed in what it does. And to kind of have to resort to conversations about, well, it's not realistic for us to tackle X, Y, or Z. And so we've got to reinvent ourselves a little bit. They're hard discussions to have. It's not easy to see so much talent leave our newsroom, both in sports and elsewhere. And it's something that you never foresee happening, but it's here, and we're going to have to make the best of it.
And Dan, before we finish up today, last question, what's the best memory you have of working at the Tribune?
There's just such a wonderful adrenaline rush to being a Bears writer at the Chicago Tribune, right? And I remember my first day attending practice in 2013 at House Hall and just sort of reminding myself that to take a moment, pinch myself on the opportunity that I have and where it was going to take me in my career in terms of just the ability. And, you know, I'm going on season 9 now covering the Bears, of seeing the NFL, learning about the sport through a charter franchise, to be able to just kind of be a voice for Chicago on the Bears' successes, few and far between during my time, and their failures, which have been many, but just feeling that regular adrenaline rush of having the opportunity to be the eyes and ears of the people of Chicago on the Chicago Bears beat. I'll also say on a side note, I had a chance in 2014, 15, and 16 to cover the Masters at Augusta National. And I can tell you that there is a similar adrenaline rush that goes with that when you step grounds on that golf course and you feel the aura and you have that moment where you say, man, this is bucket list stuff here that I'm having a chance to do. And to watch three of those golf tournaments on that beautiful golf course was truly special and something that, as I talk about it right now, I'm getting a little bit goosebumped and feeling how lucky I am, right, to have these opportunities for, again, a newspaper and a publication that has been so prestigious throughout my lifetime.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining me. Always great to talk to you about Bears, and best wishes as training camp gets going and the season will be around before you know it. Thank you so much.
You bet, John. Always enjoy catching up.
Great talk there with Dan Wiederer, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Dan Wiederer himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. And so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the turtles!